We've heard it all off season, Justin Jefferson in the Cooper Kupp role. What is the Cooper Kupp role? What does that mean? And how can we expand our understanding of it beyond like what the target share is? Let's talk about it on the Locked On Vikings podcast.
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I am your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. Thank you so much for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day. And today on the show, I want to get a little X's and O's-y. We've done a lot of history the last couple shows, so let's do something modern. And let's talk about one of the more like repeated choruses that I've heard over the whole offseason that I just got to talk it out. It's Justin Jefferson in the Cooper Kupp role. So a few theses here. A, I don't think you guys want this as much as you say you want it. B, what is a wide receiver's role? Like, what does it mean to be like in this style of role? And what are you really asking when you're asking for it? And C, what actually is Justin Jefferson's skill set? Can you answer, like, what are his strengths? And can you answer what his weaknesses are? Can we talk about that in specific terms? That's kind of where we're going to head with this. But first, let me do the conversation about what a role is, and specifically what the Cooper Kupp role is. I want you to make a mental note of what you would say if somebody said, hey, I've heard a whole bunch of this, like Justin Jefferson and the Cooper Kupp. What's the Cooper Kupp role? What would you tell them? Like, what would you say it's a slot receiver? Would you say it's being an inline receiver and doing a lot of shifts? Would you say it's, you know, catching 1,000 passes a game? Would you say it's being, you know, running a lot of corner routes out of the slot? Or like, what would you say to somebody who genuinely didn't know what the Cooper Kupp role was and asked you about it? Here's what I would say. The Cooper Kupp role is a variable role. Variable is the word I'm going to use here. It is a role that basically has to be good at it's almost tight end-ish in that you have to be good at every single thing a person does on the field. You have to be able to run after the catch. You have to be a classic wide receiver sometimes. You have to be a slot shifty wide receiver running, you know, whip outs. You have to be able to block in line. You have to be able to angle block like wide receivers do. You have to be able to kick out block like tight ends, and sometimes even he does blocks that offensive linemen do. He was matched up one-on-one with DJ Wonnum a whole bunch in our matchup, which I noticed a lot because it was not Wonnum's best day. But like, you have to be very, very versatile. It's a versatility role. So that's my answer to this. So if I heard somebody having this conversation, say, what's the Cooper Kupp role? And somebody said, well, it's like being like a slot receiver. I would say, that's like not really it. Or it's, you know, it's getting a lot of catches. Let's talk about that. I really think a lot of people, and if you're one of these people, it's not your fault, all right? This is just what fantasy football has done to the discourse. But I think a lot of people hear Cooper Kupp role, and they just hear, oh, cool, we're going to target him 600 times. Which, like, that's not what a role is. That's usage. But how many targets a player gets, and we've had this conversation with Justin Jefferson a lot, so sorry if I'm repeating myself, but how many targets a player gets has as much to do with the defense as it does, you know, the down and distance, as it does the quarterback's decision making. And that's not even if the quarterback is good at decision making or not. It's a, you know, there are a lot of concepts that are based on like reading a player. If he goes left, you throw right. If he goes right, you throw left. Well, who's on the left and right kind of doesn't have anything to do with how good those wide receivers are. It's a matter of what the defense does, and that will affect the target share. So when I hear like target share stuff, I was super annoyed with all the target share discourse, even with Stephon Diggs, and it's like, that's, you don't sit there fiddling with knobs when you're the offensive coordinator going, well, I think we'll do maybe 9 Justin Jefferson targets this time, and we'll do, we'll target Adam Thielen 7 times, and maybe we'll take one away from Adam Thielen, we'll give one to you're not doing that. You're calling concepts and plays, and you're going, well, they like to come out and show too high. So we'll do something that beats too high. And that in that too high concept, we'll have Justin Jefferson be the guy that runs the deepest route. And that's how the Kubiaks all did it. Have Justin Jefferson be the guy running the home run, right? Because why would you waste him on the crosser that anybody can run? Have Chad Beebe do that. Have Justin Jefferson be the one, you know, running the go route where he actually has to beat a corner and make a play, or the post route where he has to be, you know, really set it up and manipulate a safety. That was how you get the most out of Justin Jefferson. And I think the Kubiaks were right to do that. And I think Kevin O'Connell should do the same. I don't think that that's a place that he should change things. There's a lot of other stuff he should change. I don't think that's one of them. But with Cooper Kupp, what his role was ended up getting a lot of targets. But you got to look at the reason for that. For one, Matthew Stafford just is a quarterback that you are going to ask to pass 60 times a game or whatever it was. A lot of people say maybe Kirk Cousins should be that too, and I think he's going to be. I do think, based on O'Connell's comments in the past in Washington, based on his comments now in Minnesota, that there's going to be some pass to set up the pass, and you're going to see a lot of passing volume. I don't necessarily know if the Cooper Kupp role, which is a lot of short passes as well as sometimes a long pass, sometimes streak down the field, up the seam and stuff, is necessarily what we want. So what I'm going to talk about next is more specifics about what the Cooper Kupp role is, how Sean McVay utilized Cooper Kupp, why it worked for Kupp, and then later in the show, we'll talk about, does that work for Jefferson? Is that actually what we want to do with Jefferson? Because it is very Cooper Kupp specific. And there are things about Cooper Kupp that he doesn't necessarily share with Justin Jefferson. And we got to make sure that that's not going to be a problem. But first, let me talk to you about your car. Speaking of things you got to make sure that aren't a problem, if you hear a funky noise, if a light comes on, go get that thing taken care of, all right? Keep yourself safe. I want you all to stay safe. But I understand that the cost can get out of hand, so let me help you out a little bit with that. RockAuto.com is a place where you can get car parts directly from the manufacturer. It's like an online aggregator. You're getting the exact same parts that you would get at like a body shop, but you're getting them delivered directly to your door, and then you can go to a mechanic and say, hey, I have this part, my car needs it, can I pay you just to install it? And most mechanics will go for that. If you're not comfortable with that kind of thing, you can still get stuff at Rock Auto, like jumper cables or safety supplies, like a tire kit, all that stuff that you really don't want to not have until it's one of those things like a plunger. Don't wait till you need it to get it. Whatever it is you get at rockauto.com, you're getting it from somebody that won't upcharge you, you know, 30, 50, even 100% for it. So go to rockauto.com. And in the checkout, how you heard about us section, make sure you let them know that Locked On sent you. Because if you don't, the rabbits will hack Netflix and spoil to the world how Stranger Things ends. Rock Auto, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. So, Cooper Kupp's role. Have you had enough time to think about what Cooper Kupp's role is? Here's my understanding in a lot more certain terms. Cooper Kupp's role is variable. I kind of said that. He lines up all over the formation. You can line him up on the outside as like an X, if that's the terminology you want to use, or inside as a slot, or even as an inline. Put him in the backfield. You can put him anywhere. So that's part of it. But being able to put him anywhere, what's the point of that? Like, do we have a sense for what the point of putting a guy anywhere is? Generally, if you put him, you know, in the backfield, there's a reasonable chance that the opponent's coverage is going to end up with a linebacker on him. Or if they don't want to put a linebacker on him, it'll be stressful to do it. Like, it'll have to require shifts and changes and communication and things that the defense can mess up. So there's kind of throwing challenges at them that way. But also variability in roles. Cooper Kupp is a phenomenal blocker. That is a huge, huge part of this. Cooper Kupp is one of the best blocking wide receivers in the entire game. And being able to use him, it's like being in 12 personnel, but you're in 11 personnel. Now, why would you want to be in 12 personnel? Well, a lot of it is to run, right? You want bigger bodies on the field, and so you can run at the other team. And how a lot of teams have started to manipulate this is, all right, well, you're going to put your bigger guys on the field. If I'm the defense, I'm going to put my bigger guys on the field. So you put two tight ends and a running back, you might get a lot more base personnel, extra linebackers on the field, bigger bodies, right? And then if one of those guys is George Kittle, right, If you're the 49ers, you got George Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk and, I don't know, whatever running back on the field, a lot of teams might have to put base in against you because you'll get run on like the Dickens, like what happened to the Vikings in the 2019 playoff game. I don't think that was what happened in that game. I think nose tackles just kind of got beat up, but nevertheless, the Vikings got run on really bad, and there was that one drive where they ran like 10 times in a row and they got a touchdown, and it was like, there's nothing you can do. Like, that's just such a powerless place to be when you can't stop the run. And so to avoid that, teams will put bigger guys out there, and then suddenly you have linebackers covering George Kittle. That's the classic thing of 12 personnel. You probably already knew that. If you didn't, there you go. But imagine having the same running ability, because Cooper Kupp's a god at blocking, but you're going up against everybody's nickel corner, and suddenly you're forcing everybody's Mackenzie Alexander to be way more physical than they actually are. Everybody's 5'10", you know, buck 80, slot corner suddenly needs to be physical and get down and be tackling, you know, Derrick Henry's or little bowling ball, you know, running backs. It's forcing players to do things outside of their comfort zone. So that's part of it, is because Cooper Kupp is a really, really good blocker. He blocks a lot. He's in on all the run plays. He does not come off the field for your jumbo package in kind of a weird way, right? Like 12 personnel with Cooper Kupp, functionally, you can run plays that are designed for a jumbo package because Cooper Kupp's a good enough blocker. Which means personnel suddenly gets way, way harder to read, right? Because if you see the Rams with two tight ends, a running back, and two wide receivers, but one of them's Cooper Kupp, you know, when you're doing your tape study, you see the Vikings in 12 personnel last year, you know, with Tyler Conklin and Luke Stalker, Chris Herndon on the field. Jesus, that got dark. You see those guys on the field and you kind of understand, all right, this is probably outside zone or some play action that goes off of outside zone. You know, we've watched all the tape and it can be, you know, these are their favorite plays to run out of it. And you kind of get a sense. That's how you scout a normal team. But when you're scouting the Rams, that is all so much more. There's so much more that can happen. Because Cooper Kupp, you know, 11 personnel with Cooper Kupp, you have access to your entire 12P playbook. You have access to your entire 10P playbook. You have access to your entire 11P playbook because Cooper Kupp can do so many different roles. That's a problem that it faces. And then the other thing is the way McVay does this, and I think Kevin O'Connell has talked about kind of this is something I think he's going to take, is with shifts and motions. Now, shifts and motions have a lot of different functions, right? Sometimes all you're doing is just trying to gather information about the defense so that the quarterback can better read them, right? You have Dalvin Cook starts, they'll do this with CJ Ham. The Vikings do this all the time, and it was the dumbest trick ever because everybody knew what they were doing, but it would still help. You would have CJ Ham go out, split out wide, like in a wide receiver, and then he would eventually motion back in. And depending on what happened, you know, did a linebacker go out there with him and then follow him back in, or was that a cornerback, or how did they shift in response to that, will tell Kirk Cousins things about the defense. And then sometimes you just snap it and you throw CJ Ham a go ball down the sideline because he's one of the best wide receivers in the league and he can do that. Elite, all-pro CJ Ham, god of gods. But that's part of it. And then part of it is just stressing out the defense. So this is what the shifts did a lot to the Vikings. When the Rams played the Vikings, Sean McVay had their heads spinning doing this. You'd start out in a 2x2 formation, the way Zimmer's defense worked. There's sort of two families of coverage, and that kind of depends on how many people are on that side of the cover. So if there's two eligible receivers on that side, or three or four, it sort of changes what family of coverage there is. So what he would do is he would change that information right before the snap. You'd have 2x2, and everybody would have what are called triangle coverages, which are, you know, 3v3, or 3v2, right? Three people, triangle, get it. Three defenders on two people, and they would take responsibilities accordingly in a bunch of different patterns depending on the call. And then Cooper Kupp would switch, and suddenly you have one on one side and three on the other side. The running back doesn't count towards these counts all the time. So you'd have 3x1, and then suddenly everybody's role has to change and hike right now while they're all thinking about it. And that's how you get blown coverages. That's how you got people to do the wrong thing. They got a ton of stuff that way. And what that turns into is a bunch of really good opportunities for Cooper Kupp himself to beat someone who's not very good at coverage compared to a wide receiver, either a safety or a linebacker or a nickel corner. A lot of times he would get favorable matchups, ton of one-on-ones because things are shifting in the, and when you're, you know, shifting things on the fly, most defenses are just happy if you get a hat on a hat. And you know, you're not doubling Cooper Kupp, and they would try to double Cooper Kupp, but when things are shifting around and, you know, you're worried about making mistakes, sometimes you have to sacrifice the double just to make sure you have something that everybody can execute. And it would mean Cooper Kupp was open a lot. Matt Stafford would find him and he got a million targets. So that's the Cooper Kupp role. A lot of blocking, a lot of shifting, and a lot of different routes. Cooper Kupp has to run a lot of whip outs and crossing routes because the threat of a shallow route is something that he uses a lot to get open. So there has to be a lot of 4-yard passes to Cooper Kupp. There also will be a lot of deep passes because what's the point of all those 4-yard ones if you're not going to use it to go, you know, kill something down the seam or go get a deep corner or something like that or get a go route? That'll happen. So a lot of bombs to Cooper Kupp too. But there has to be kind of everything. You have to do all of the things. Do we want that for Justin Jefferson or do we want something more specialized? That's the thing. I don't know my answer to it. I'm going to think it out. We'll see if I come up with one by the end of the show. So I don't know. We'll see what that is. But first, let me chat with you about a good old Gramble, because you can bet right now on the Vikings over-under. Shoot, you can bet on the Rams over-under. You can bet on every team but the Browns for reasons that, well, you can probably figure out. Whether they will make the playoffs, over-under, how they will do in their division, first, second, third, that kind of thing. You can bet on week one, even. You can just go bet. I think the Vikings are like 3-point dogs right now, so at home. So I don't know. If you're feeling it, then go do that. You can Gramble on all of that stuff and much, much more at betonline.net. You can bet on baseball, WNBA. You can bet on golf, tennis, MMA, the Adrian Peterson, Le'Veon Bell fight, whatever you want. Go to betonline.net. You can do player props and build weird parlays. You can bet right in the middle of any game and live with their live betting apparatus that has like all sorts of info coming at you. And you can even like be watching the game on betonline.net at the same time, or listening to at least a radio broadcast at the same time, and being able to like place your bets right in the middle. There's a lot of edges to be gained if you know what you're doing. Again, that is betonline.net. You can find all of that stuff at BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, so all of this leads to, do we want this for Justin Jefferson? And there's a lot of merit to either, right? I think really what people want is a lot of targets for Justin Jefferson. And they saw Cooper Kupp got a lot of targets, and they go, oh, that role's good. Yeah, then let's give him the role that gets him lots of targets. I hope by now you kind of understand that that's not the magic wand we're waving, right? It's not that easy. If it was, I mean, yeah, everybody would do it, and it wouldn't be a question, right? There's clearly something else going on here. So do we want Justin Jefferson doing all of that stuff? And honestly, I don't really know. When I hear that role, when I hear, you know, a lot of blocking and a lot of varied places to line up, and sometimes you need to do, you know, after catch stuff, and you need to have a lot of variable, I think KJ Osborne. This is Cooper Kupp role is for KJ Osborne, and you send Justin Jefferson deep all the time. Because what I don't want to do is utilize Justin Jefferson's insane skill set, which is best suited for getting open downfield. His after catch is fine. Like, he's a fighter. He can break tackles. He's good at that. And so I don't think that's like a weakness or anything like that. But really, his superpower is getting off the line, which is really funny because that was the thing I was worried about in the draft. Clearly not an issue. But his superpower is getting off the line, getting open, setting up corners over the course of a longer developing route, and making 35-yard catches. Not only is that what I think he's genuinely best at, but even if he was equally good at all things, that's where there's the most meat on the bone. Let me do the thing that gets 35-yard Justin Jefferson catches instead of 10-yard Justin Jefferson catches or 4-yard Justin Jefferson catches. I want the 35-yard ones, and I want to set those up. And I want to do that 8-9 times a game. Yeah, let's get him lots of targets. But those targets also, I want them to be high octane. Justin Jefferson as a blocker is fine. He did make some mistakes as a blocker. I don't know if that's necessarily where he's at his best, and I don't need that to be a focal point of Justin Jefferson's role. I also, like, I want him to be on the outside using running plays to set up corners. This is something the greats do. This was a Randy Moss thing, and I've seen Justin Jefferson do it. So get excited about that as you'll allow yourself to. But when it's a run play on the outside, most corners are playing pass first. They're not looking for the run play unless they're in a specific coverage that tells them to. But for the most part, on the outside during like just a straight HB gut random run play, the wide receiver and the corner are still covering each other. And sometimes there's an alert where it's like you're genuinely running a go and it might be an RPO or something. But for simplicity's sake, consider a play where the wide receiver knows it's a run play and he knows that the ball's not coming to him and the corner doesn't. Well, this is where you set things up, right? This is where you do, oh, I'm going to outside release really, really hard and get it in that cornerback's head that that's what I want to do. I want to do an outside release or get him in his head that I'm trying to make him think that, right? Whatever you're trying to set up. And Justin Jefferson does this. He uses those reps to kind of put certain things into the cornerback's mind that he can then subvert later and be like, you know, really, really hard outside release. And then he'll do like what's called a hezy release, which kind of takes a really, really hard step to the outside before it cuts inside. And then he can really dust somebody off the line. He's gotten people with that exact sequence before, and he'll do the really hard outside release, which is not a great release. It's slow and it can be countered pretty well. Do that on the run play where it doesn't matter, but now you've made the corner think, oh, he wants to go outside on me. I'm going to, and now when you go outside, when you fake going outside on him, he's going to be that much more likely to bite on it. That is what I want Justin Jefferson doing on run plays. Have KJ Osborne, who I think is a better blocker, block. That's where I want this. And if that means KJ Osborne gets all the targets in the world, that's just a quirk of things, and that wouldn't bother me really, because I don't think Justin Jefferson, I don't think a wide receiver's value is his target share, unless you're talking like fantasy. That's not what we're after here, right? We're trying to set up really big chunks, and that might mean that the ball can't come to you this time because you need to set up something that might not work that well. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean we have to not target Justin Jefferson a bunch of times, but I do think it's wise to give him times where he knows the ball isn't coming to him, because those are very, very useful things and tools that he knows how to manipulate. That's a tool for him. So let's now circle back to that original question. And do you have a different answer than you did before? If so, great. Love it. And if you're still saying, well, no, the Cooper Kupp role is the role that gets him a lot. What are you talking about, Luke? Do the thing that gets Justin Jefferson the ball all the time. That's what he needs to be doing. Three deep, let's go. Then I think you've maybe missed it a little bit, because I want Justin Jefferson to get the ball in quality situations. I do not want to waste Justin Jefferson on 4-yard hitches. I'm okay with wasting KJ Osborne on a 4-yard hitch on a play. But I kind of want to make anybody who is shadowing Justin Jefferson, I want that dude up and down the field all day. I want that dude having to deal with releases. I want that dude having to deal with route stems all the time and breaks at different points. And I want all of Justin Jefferson's targets to be high octane. Sometimes you run a spacing concept where everybody's running a 4-yard hitch. That's all fine. But when it comes to the Cooper Kupp role, which requires a lot of blocking and a lot of dirty work and a lot of unglamorous stuff, I think it would be extremely unwise to ask Justin Jefferson to do a lot of dirty work. And it kind of runs counter to the whole point we're making here about Cooper Kupp and his target share. You want Justin Jefferson to get a lot of targets, and I'll even kind of go a little more advanced there. We want Justin Jefferson to get a lot of air yards. We want Justin Jefferson to have a lot of possible yards that he can get if he does his job and catches the ball, which he does do that a lot. He's like pretty good at that. I don't know if you knew that. That's what we want. The Cooper Kupp role, I don't think, is the way to get it for Justin Jefferson. I think it's a way to use KJ Osborne, and I would love to see that happen. And I'm pretty excited for what KJ Osborne can do in Kevin O'Connell's offense. I think he's genuinely a really good asset. But it's going to mean asking him to do a lot of unglamorous dirty work and have him do that and have Justin Jefferson do the big ones. Put the offense in his hands and put the dirty work in someone else's. In Cooper Kupp's case, it just so happened that he got a lot of really favorable matchups. And you can absolutely do that with Justin Jefferson too. Put him in the slot, put him in line, move him all over the formation. You have to have a guy like KJ Osborne who can lineup in line and outside too, because wherever Justin Jefferson isn't, you need a guy there too. So you need to have all that variation. And they have that with Osborne and Thielen. And even BC Johnson, I think to a degree can do that. So, you know, find your matchups and attack them. And the Kubiaks did that great. They had Justin Jefferson on people's idiot slot corners all the time. And I have to imagine you're going to have some of that too. So we'll have those matchups. It's just, we don't need to have Justin Jefferson do dirty work to lure the defense into accidentally leaving a linebacker there. We can just put in places and have the defense stress itself out trying to focus on Jefferson specifically. And then if they do double him and KJ Osborne gets 150 yards in the game, we're not going to be mad about that. So that's where I'm at on the Cooper Kupp role. I love what we think we're getting out of it. I love getting Justin Jefferson the ball a lot. I love getting him a lot of quality opportunities. I don't think the Cooper Kupp role is necessarily the way to do it for him, and I don't think it utilizes what Jefferson is best at and instead asks him to do what he's at best okay at. Tomorrow, I don't know, we'll do something. We'll figure it out. This is the fun journey of the summer. It's almost July, folks. We're getting there. We're getting close to camp, all right? In the meantime, check out the Peacock and Williamson show. Check out Locked On NFL. Check out Locked On Locked On Twins with Nash. Going really strong there if you're watching the Twins. I will see you all tomorrow. And as always, Skol.